From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the Leftovers Podcast with Derek Kramer.
I'm going to say a stupid thing right now. Pudding. Where's my money?
Frank R. Curry.
I didn't say run through a wall. Do it again? Okay.
And Kyle Powell.
When the Sabres were actually in a playoff spot for the entire year.
On WGR550.com.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
I'm Kyle Powell.
And the gang's all here. And as I'd referenced on the last podcast, my brother got married. And don't worry, the intro is fine. We just went with kid and play, you know, something simple, effective. Well, the group before us, though, the pair brought a confetti gun. That was fantastic.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't think you top that, though. So, but yeah, no. I was fine with that thing.
Oh, you need the help.
No, I don't. But you guys ready for some stories?
Always.
So, before we get to the sports talk of all this, here's some nonsense for your podcast. And, oh, it is some damn nonsense. So, my brother and my now sister-in-law got married at a place called Schmo Schmeckies. And let me say this. Yo, Kyle, don't get married at Schmo Schmeckies.
I will cross that off the list I was compiling right now.
Yes, it's a place in the West Seneca area, and obviously I'm not saying its actual name, but yeah, they kind of suck. They were yelling at the wedding party to get lined up. Here's the problem: I was chasing a 2-year-old to get him in line to be ready for like the not the ceremony, the reception. I'm chasing this kid down. Uncle Derek's chasing a stupid kid, and I'm hearing this lady. First off, don't mess with event coordinators or wedding planners. They're mean, mean people. But this lady's yelling, and we're wondering why. And I come back with a 2-year-old. I'm like, okay, I got him. Let's do this. But apparently the lines, get in line or you can wait outside, were thrown around. That's kind of terrible, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, let's put it frankly, shitty. And then I learned that the bride was getting yelled at through all this procession. I'm sorry, you don't do that. No, you suck. You're the worst kind of person. And I hope you burn in hell. So we slowly get our revenge. Not on purpose, but we get our revenge. Because that's what Kramers do. We party hard. And that's, I mean, come on, I sell you hard. People know this. And it runs in the family, really. But I got yelled at for the first time on for being on the dance floor. For the very first time, I got yelled at. I've been to 4 weddings now in my adult life. First time I ever got yelled at. And this place just, they suck. They're kind of tight asses, and I don't like it. So, but the interesting thing was, it was pretty cool. I slid on a chair all the way across the floor, kind of like it was like a rolly chair, but it wasn't. It had the same range and motion and flawlessness to it. It was stupid cool. You had to be there. Sorry you guys weren't. And, but apparently I got in trouble for that. However, there was one thing they got to be legitimately pissed off about.
Which is?
Okay, so we had a bunch of sparklers that we lit outside for a certain part of this for a certain part of this reception for during the dancing. There was a certain song that played, and you all went outside. We took a sparkler, and you lit a sparkler up. There were a couple left, and apparently, from what I'm collecting these days, 3 days after the wedding, someone used one of these sparklers to light a plant on fire. You know what? Oh. You know what? That's what you get for yelling at the bride. I don't feel bad. Take that, schmoshmackies. Y'all can suck it.
All right.
I'm sorry, but you don't yell at the bride.
That's true.
Kiss the whitest part of my ass.
Yeah.
Simply enough. But yeah, there's more, but obviously we are a sports podcast, and I just like to say that my family's a right bunch of assholes, and I'm not ashamed of it. Because I am the same thing. So yes, fun, stupid start to our podcast. But around the corner is the MLB trade deadline. Also around the corner is training camps. As a matter of fact, rookies reported today for the Buffalo Bills, and the rest of the players report on Wednesday. Training camp practices begin on Thursday. So we got football's back, everyone. We did it.
Football.
Football is back. You don't need any more things about stories about people lighting plants on fire at a wedding for our podcast. Now you can just get football and then to hockey and then to everything else and baseball playoffs. And we're back. We did it. We did it. Everyone, we held off those two particular weeks of hell.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
Everyone, same time, ready? There we go.
Well done, world.
Well done, boys. We did it.
Good job.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy.
Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
So guys, obviously I'm the filthy casual around here. I do not know the contracts of players and who's expiring or how often it's expired contracts that end up getting traded at the MLB trade deadline. I don't know the hot names out there, but I do know that Kyle's got a list in front of him.
There's so much.
There is a lot that I'm looking at here. And I see arrows, I see names, lists. And Frank's got his phone just ready and at the...
It's like that scene of Always Sunny where Charlie gets a job in the mailroom.
Pepe Silvi. Everywhere I look, it's Pepe Silvi. I got boxes full of Pepe.
That's what I think of when I
see opened
these
up Twitter,
arrows.
And the first thing I see is something new with Sabres Twitter today.
Uh-oh.
Let's start there then. What's new on Sabres Twitter today? Is there complaints about Kevin Rodriguez?
Yes. Yes, yes,
oh,
there
ding,
is.
Ding, ding, ding. Happy Monday to Kyle.
Good job. It's based off of one comment. So, Elliot Friedman, over the weekend,
yes,
tweeted about Evan Rodriguez and arbitration. Buffalo is offering 1.5. Evan Rodriguez's camp wants 2.65.
So, they'll meet in the middle.
They'll meet in the middle, which the middle
does.
Which is just over $2 million.
Okay, cool. I'm down with a cool $2 million for Evan Rodriguez. He was going to get a pay raise.
So, the problem is that there is a particular Sabres fan on Twitter who replied to Elliot's tweet saying... Evan Rodriguez wouldn't make AHL rosters because he's a soft player, essentially.
Are you sure this dude's Sabres Twitter, or is he just a dink of a fan?
His Twitter name, like not the at, his Twitter name is Raiders Boys Bills, and it's also including the Sabres in there too. And he's from Buffalo.
Okay, like so I said, is he just a dink?
Oh, yeah, he's a total dink.
Then it's not Sabres Twitter. It's just a person on Twitter.
It was also because people on Sabres Twitter have also replied or commented on said tweet.
Oh.
Basically refuting everything he says. I'm going to say, this is the first thing I saw on Twitter when I opened it up when I sat down here. That's all. That's all. That's what I was... That's why I'm like... You're seeing me look in my phone right now because I'm just reading some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny that some guy's just like, dude wouldn't make an NHL roster but wants 2.65. I would definitely argue against that. I'm not charts guy.
What do you think depth is in the NHL anyway?
Yeah. A guy who makes
everybody
NHL
has
roster.
50, 60 point
the
players.
Dude, so the dude who made that comment essentially says Evan Rodriguez is not even a fourth liner, so he needs to be a tough player, i.e. old school hockey. Because he's not old school hockey, he'll never make it.
Breaking news.
Essentially. Even though the charts actually say Evan Rodriguez is pretty good. Like, he's a good top nine player.
Like I said, I'm not charts guy. But I am a guy that says Evan Rodriguez absolutely has a spot on this team and is a guy who could get paid a cool $2 million a season.
I'm fine with that. They give him that. If the arbitration just settles at 2.0, I think it's 2.075.
I mean, good for his camp for really trying to reach for the stars, though. But that's what an agent does.
Yeah.
His job is to literally make his client money, and he knows how to play the arbitration game.
Chad DeDominick's on Twitter said it's got to be a Paul Hamilton burner account, which was pretty funny.
I haven't seen P. Ham openly slam Evan Rodriguez as a player that
no,
should be
on the
team.
No, he was just making a joke.
So I don't get it. I don't get it. So what do you think about the the fact that Rodriguez could get that significant of a pay raise, because the guy was making less than $700,000 a season on his last contract.
I mean, he's earned it.
He's earned it. It's just now you got to kind of possibly look at the books here a little bit, don't you think?
They already are. They already have to, because it's Evan Rodriguez. They have a little over $5 million in cap space right now, and it's Evan Rodriguez, it's Jake McCabe, and it's Linus Ullmark. And if you're the thing is with the cap space, the Sabres can go over. They need to. They are allowed to be 10% over the cap throughout the summer.
Until the season starts.
Once the season starts. So once game one starts, they have to be under.
Is that $5 million in space including Rodriguez's expected?
No, that's what they have right now.
Right now before yes. they even talk terms.
But no, before anything
signs. I thought the tender does count on the cap. For the time being, right?
I'm not entirely sure, because it's nothing that's been actually signed. Just a tender. Which Rodriguez's tender, I believe, wouldn't even be like, would be like around the veteran minimum anyway.
This is one of those things where I can sense, though, that the team and the player aren't really going to work out a long-term deal here. Not how far apart they are.
This is probably going to be like the one-year deal.
Yeah. This is either the one-year deal or the arbitration settles it.
No, that's what it will be. The arbitration will be a one-year deal.
Yeah, they're too far apart, I think, to really
If they were going for a multi-year deal, they would have signed it already.
I don't think they would anyway, because he had a little bit of an inflation in his stats last year because the season was over by the start of February. You know, come that seven-game homestand to start that month, once they got off on the wrong foot like that, I mean, they weren't playing for anything for the final 2.5 months of the season, so he had a chance to get more minutes, and he had a chance to play more stats, so I think it's smart on both camps, especially the Sabres side, to not go extra years with a guy like Rodriguez, because he is a role player, he is a depth player, he's your bottom six. He can drive a little bit of play on the third and fourth line wherever you place him, but it's not exactly a prove-it guy deal where he bursts on the scene and has 70 points, and we want to do it again, but you have to see if he can give you that production a year's more over before you give him 2-3 years of commitment, and he's 28, 29, you're looking at 15 points a year.
The other thing, too, is when arbitration does decide what the contract will look like, the Sabres do have the choice of walking away from it.
Sure.
Which would then make Evan Rodriguez a UFA.
And make some people on Sabres Twitter very unhappy.
But I wonder if a lot of this comes down to where they see him in the lineup with what they have now.
Because what do they have now?
Well, remember, they've added Johansson. They've added Jimmy Vesey. You re-signed Skinner. You still have Connor Sherry.
They re-signed Gergensens and Larson.
They still have Olofsson coming up, too. We know what this team needs.
I know. What I'm saying is, why keep Larson Gergensens and get rid of Rodriguez? That's dumb.
Yeah. But the thing is, if they only see Rodriguez as a fourth liner on this team with the wingers they've added already, they might not have him here next season. Especially if you're paying $2 million to him.
I guess the thing is we have to see what the arbitration does, because
I think the arbitration.
Honestly, I don't think the arbitrator is going to go over $2 million.
The medium between what Rodriguez wants and what the Sabres want is 2.075.
Barely over $2
million. Barely over.
I'm okay with that. I think the team would be okay with that.
I think only if they see him as the third center.
Yeah, I could see that. I just think, though, that...
But if they're trying to add another center...
Oh...
Where does Rodriguez fit?
They suddenly can't afford $2 million on him.
They suddenly can't fit him in the lineup. Because your fourth line, right? Because the fourth line is had. Yes, Larson and Gergesen are signed. You still have Kyle Poso. You just re-signed C.J. Smith. You still have Scott Wilson for another year. Are you going to add Evan Rodriguez to that too?
I mean, maybe.
You might. Or you do one of two things. You don't accept the arbitration and let him walk. Or you package him in a wrist line and trade. You sign him to that and then package him. And get that center you want. If that's what they can do.
The Instigators mentioned a center this morning when I was driving in. Oh, we're on the topic, and it happened to come from Winnipeg. And I think it's a player that you could fit under this tiny amount of cap you have left, and it's Adam Lowry, who makes under $3 million.
Yeah, but see, Adam, I've thought of Adam Lowry too, but I don't see him as a top-nine center.
Really?
He's got the making of being a really good fourth-line center and like a lower-end third line center. Whereas the Sabres need more of a middle six guy. And he's been good. And I mean, I could be wrong. He could be better, be even better. But consider that the last 2 years, Winnipeg has traded for top six centers at the deadline in Paul Stastny and Kevin Hayes. And then their center core immediately becomes, after those trades, obviously, Scheifele, Stastny / Hayes, Brian Little, and Adam Lowry. And then they still have Matthew Perreault, too.
Wow. I thought he had a little more point production. He's never even reached 30.
Yeah. Like I said, I think Adam Lowry is more of a fourth line / bottom six guy.
Wow, that shocks me.
See, Lowry's got more of
not your projection of him. There's just the points output.
Yeah. Well, Lowry's also got more of an edge to his game.
So. Oh, yeah. People would love
he's more of an He's more of an edgy guy, yeah. But that's my wonder with Rodriguez.
I'd be okay with packaging him in a deal if it got me something.
If it gets you that center that you need, yeah, absolutely. All this is contingent on where they see Rodriguez. If they see him as a center, they'll sign him, and he'll be the third center. That all depends on Kruger.
Man, I just realized how, like, my mood kind of like went on a downswing as we're talking about the Sabres here. Are they really that disappointing right now that it alters my mood?
I'm actually amazed that Adam Lowry and Evan Rodriguez have the same career high for a season in points.
Adam Lowry is Evan Rodriguez. Evan Rodriguez is Adam Lowry. That's going to piss people off.
Wow. Yeah. 29 is the highest that Lowry's reached, and Erod just got that last year.
Yep.
I'm amazed. I heard the name, and I was like, wow, that's a forgotten guy, maybe a gem. And then as soon as Frank gave me the lowdown on what he actually might be in this league, it shocked me. But you look at the stats, and you're like, holy cow, 6'5", 220. You think that would be a driver of play. But you're right, though. They're always looking for centermen at the deadline, and now I can see why. That guy never panned out. 26 years old, there's still a chance for him to blossom, but...
I mean, I always found it interesting.
Kind of
last, I always found that interesting the last couple of years, Winnipeg traded for a higher guy, and I higher center.
See why now.
When, yeah. But, I mean, I always thought it was funny, too, because they have Brian Little. I thought he's a really good second-line center for them. Behind
he
Scheifele.
Was, yeah. Now you blink your eye and he's, what, 35, 36 years old?
No, Little's younger than
is
that.
He?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to find this
I mean,
one
he's
out.
Been in the league for a while.
And he goes back to the Thrasher days.
Yeah. I'm going to check that real quick.
I've got you here. If my computer... Nope, I don't got you. You've got
He's 31.
This. My computer just crapped the bed.
Just feels like it, I guess.
He's 31.
You talk about being with another franchise.
And he's got 5 years left on his contract. At just over just under 5.3.
When did he get
Derek perked? Derek perked up on that.
I didn't perk up. I'm just like, You should look at the, like, it's too bad. People should see the faces Kyle and I both made when we heard that.
When did he sign that kind of deal?
So, 2017.
Oh, no.
And the deal kicked in last season. And he's got no movement this year.
Oh, he's got two no movement. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
no movement
this year, and then turns into a modified trade, no trade next, as of next year on for the final 4 years.
I wonder. Whew. I've always wondered if Brian Little was a guy the Sabres could try and get. Everyone was talking about Winnipeg as a team that the Sabres should trade Ristolainen to because they need a defenseman. Everyone talks about Nikolaj Ehlers. I've got a hot take. Or this might be a hot take. I don't think Nikolaj Ehlers is a smart get for the Sabres.
No?
Because of the wingers they've added already.
Yeah, they need a guy down
the
middle.
They need a center. Ehlers is not that. They've already signed Johansson. They've already traded for VC. They still have Olofsson in the mix. Connor Sherry's still here, and you have Reinhard Skinner. I just named your top nine wingers for next season. They need a center. Why would you trade for another winger unless one of your other wingers is going to move to center?
So then in your mind, how does Brian Little get here without having to package Rasmus Ristolainen? Because Ristolainen is smarter given the ages. But I think you can get more from Winnipeg knowing you're giving them a 24-year-old with control and taking back a very unsightly contract for a guy already on the other side of 30. You can definitely get more from Winnipeg prospect and maybe pick wise, but I think it would blow up in flames if Ristolainen was brought in. That's the other thing too.
Brian Little's always intrigued me as a guy because I've always liked him as a top six center, and he's always good for 40 points.
So what's your ideal package to get him here?
The problem is, my problem is I don't think Brian Little would waive his no movement to come to Buffalo.
Very true.
But let's say he did. This will probably be a case where...
Does it take like a McCabe instead?
Perhaps.
Maybe it's Rodriguez.
Could be.
You get another forward for their top nine. The problem then that Winnipeg comes into is who's their center? Who are their centers after Scheifele? Rodriguez, maybe, Lowry, and whatever else they have coming up.
Yeah, Hayes is gone. They got no more Stastny. Wow. Turn your phone off. We're in school.
I mean, Matthew Perreault.
This is the second time I've done this in two episodes.
Yeah, we're trying to have a healthy conversation about Brian Little here.
Yeah, and I don't want that like albatross of a contract. No, thank you.
I mean, I don't consider it that much of an albatross.
It's an albatross based on term.
Sure.
And that hurts.
I don't like the term.
A term is ugly for a guy who's already 31.
Sure. The term, yes.
Hard no thanks from me there. Look, I don't know what Jason Botchell's got cooking. Here's what we do know.
Oh, yeah, and they got Roslovic, too.
Okay. Here's what we know about this, though. Something's going to happen.
Something has to happen.
Because something has to happen.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen. I don't know what. I don't know when. I don't know with whom. I don't know what you're getting back. But something's going to happen. Something's going to go down. What I do know is that Jason Botchell seems like that smart kind of person that doesn't want to trade for, as the key piece in a deal, a guy with a bad contract.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what I look at with Brian Little and his $5.3 million per season over the next five seasons.
Yeah.
At 31 years old.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a responsible trade. I see that as a possibly negative trade.
I see that as more of a desperate trade.
And I see that as making up for Ryan O'Reilly, which,
yes,
as we've already seen, Jason Botchell is not scared of dealing just because of the fact that he lost on the Ryan O'Reilly trade.
Yeah.
And he damn well better not be.
No, he's because
that's
not
how you get fired.
Yeah.
Yes, the Ryan O'Reilly trade bit you in the ass.
It's all contingent on a team coming up to him and saying, we need a defenseman. We need a right shot.
David Poile traded Martin Jurat straight up, giving up Philip Forsberg. He still has a job because he's a good GM.
George McPhee traded Philip Forsberg.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it was McPhee. That's right. He didn't get McPhee fired for that.
Not for that.
He eventually got fired because the team just couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not because he put a bad team together. He made a dumb trade. David Poile. Oh, right. David Poile's dumb trade was trading a first-round pick for Paul Gostad. He was still around to make the trade to acquire Philip Forsberg.
He's still around today.
He's still around today. He's still one of the best general managers in hockey.
He is still Nashville's only general manager they've ever had.
And again, my point being, don't be scared just because you made a bad trade to not trade again. And I hate the people that say that. It's like, oh, you're going to trade, like, oh, don't trade Ristolainen because how you lost the Ryan O'Reilly trade. That's the dumbest take of all.
That's how you get fired.
That's how you get fired. That's literally how you get fired. Not moving on from that deal.
No, I was looking at all the teams, just seeing if which teams need a right shot defenseman. Really, the only two that I can find is Winnipeg being one. The other one is quite obvious, Ottawa. That's it. It's hard to find another team that could really use or really needs a right shot defenseman in Ristolainen.
Long term wise,
Philadelphia.
Okay.
What about Pittsburgh?
No, seriously.
Both. Yeah, I'm not kidding around.
Pittsburgh is interesting.
And you know Botchel isn't scared of going back to his old stomping ground for this.
We've talked about Pittsburgh before. I can deja vu myself to this last conversation.
Yes.
We talked about a predecessor for Chris Letang.
Yes, who is 32 years old. He's got 3 years left on his deal. And your other right shot defensemen are Justin Schultz at a 5.5. Wow. 5.5
for his final year. But he's a UFA next year.
Who?
Schultz.
And then you have...
Goodbranson, is he still there?
Eric Goodbranson for 2 years, but he's a pylon. That Jack Johnson.
And,
I can't believe he
Chris Weidman. Wasn't he the other acquisition at the deadline? It was Goodbranson.
Right now, likely Pittsburgh's
your other
top right-handed, six defenseman.
Your other right-handed defenseman might be Chad Ruedel.
They've already dumped Mata to Chicago, too.
Yeah, Mata's gone. So right now, Pittsburgh's decor is going to look like Letang, Ryan Dumoulin, Justin Schultz, likely Marcus Pedersen because he played really well for them last
year.
And then
Goodbranson and Johnson are the third pairing?
Yeah.
Oh, no. On the ice together?
They were a pairing when Goodbranson got traded.
And
thank God Pittsburgh inked Brandon Tanev for 6 years, though.
And they got swept.
Yeah.
Huh. Neat. But yeah, no, that may, like Pittsburgh looks interesting to me as a team that you could look at.
They would have to dump Goodbranson or Johnson in order to do that.
And you know what that means? The price goes up. I ain't taking one of those pieces of garbage for nothing. But what Kyle said actually has a lot of merit to it.
So then
as well.
What else do you get then from Pittsburgh? Let's say you're taking on the Goodbranson. Let's say you're taking on Goodbranson for Ristolainen. What else? What's that piece you're getting? And you would have to think it has to be a center.
Nick Bjugstad?
It's not. Bjugstad would be fantastic.
2 more years at 4.1.
Now we're cooking. Because it has to be an NHL-ready player for the needs of the Sabres, and Pittsburgh's farm system is awful. I feel like for the last 5 years, the only guy worth talking about in that system was Daniel Sprong, and he's since moved on to Anaheim in a trade. I don't think they have anything in Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, cap-wise, you don't even have to take on the likes of a good Branson, I don't think.
Well, now they have Joseph. They got from the Kessel trade.
That's right.
Defenseman.
Left or right?
Left.
He's a young guy. But
20 years old.
But is he NHL ready yet?
Probably not. Not right now.
Bjugstad. There's another idea on a Monday.
Bjugstad is, I think, very interesting. It's just because Pittsburgh has so many other defensemen right now, they're going to have to move a guy first.
Yeah, if we end up having to take on, for example, the contract of Eric Branson, a decent pick is coming along your way too, probably. Right? You'd have
probably. Branson, Bjugstad, and like a third.
I would hope for a second.
You would hope maybe he can make conditional.
How old's Bukestad? 27? You get him for years, what, 28, 29?
He's 27.
27?
Yeah, nice one.
Well, guess what? Well, they don't have a second in 2020, so you'd have to look at that and get a little creative. And trades have gotten
21 picks.
Trades have gotten pretty creative these days, though. So with conditionals and everything of the sort.
Love the conditions.
So Kyle, though, had a pretty good point about Philly. Kyle knows that roster better than mm-hmm. either of us would right off the start. But yes. Their right-handed defensemen are Travis Sanheim, Justin Braun, Matt Niskanen.
Sanheim's a lefty.
Oh, it says he is a right defenseman, though.
Yeah, does he primarily play on the left side?
They moved a lot of guys around this year okay. with some injuries. Seeing Gostisbehere took a step back. But the main core was Gostisbehere, Hag, Sanheim, Morin.
Yeah.
And, they're Provorov. All lefties.
Provorov is also
Provorov
a lefty.
Is also a lefty, yeah. Their main, they had this foursome of lefties coming from Lehigh Valley to Philadelphia the last few years that were all left-handed shot defensemen.
Yeah.
Gostisbehere debuted in 2015-16.
And they traded Rako Gudas for Matt Niskanen in order to get a right-handed shot that could
Well, Gudas was log also a left-handed minutes. Shot. Or right-handed shot.
What I'm saying, though, is that he could log some minutes because there's no one else on there that are right-handed shots that could do that.
And then they traded for Justin Braun.
Braun's going to be the right-handed minutes eater now.
He's got 1 year left.
Yep.
No, I mean, like, right now.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, he's got 1 year left. If Philly wants to talk, I'm willing to listen.
Down the middle, guys you can look at in Philadelphia, obviously Nolan Patrick.
Yep.
Travis Konecny, that would break me inside.
Konecny? Yeah, you know, you might be talking.
Yeah, but Konecny's kind of moved to wing, hasn't he?
Yeah.
A little bit.
But I would easily take it.
Yeah.
He's got experience down the middle. Couturier, no.
Oh, but you know you want to.
You know I
Couturier
want to.
Couturier bust.
You know I want that.
Or right. if you look
All
in
right,
the system.
Fine. We'll take Claude Giroux off.
All right. If you look in the system, though, I mean, Morgan Frost, year or two away, maybe.
Yeah. Morgan Frost is their best prospect.
But stick to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because like honestly, I'm probably taking that advice because other than Couturier, which is unrealistic, and Nolan Patrick, who really hasn't done anything since being drafted.
Nolan Patrick would be interesting because you could take the chance on his. He's still got a high ceiling.
I would take Konecny any day of the week.
Yeah,
you'd just be talking contract with him at the end of the season.
Yeah, he's an RFA.
That's fine. But Pittsburgh actually looks a little more intriguing to me in terms of you can get a guy that's pro-ready who can get you a couple of seasons so that Mittelstadt can move himself along. And like you said with the Joe Pavelski idea, you get a guy for 2 or 3 years that can move to help you down the middle, mm-hmm. be that 2C, let Mittelstadt develop into that and not rush him into anything and give him some power play time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bukestad can handle the heavier minutes for you. And look at that. And then you got skill around Bukestad. Bukestad's just fine. Ta-da. Everyone wins.
Just imagine if Bukestad is dealt out of Pittsburgh, though, in this imaginary scenario, and they steal another guy out of the city that eventually is going to have to log Crosby and Malkin's minutes because they're not playing forever.
Well, remember, they did trade for Galchenyuk after trading Kessel.
Yeah, but Galchenyuk really needs to prove that he can do something.
Yeah. And they still have Gensel.
I mean, when you're traded straight up from Max Domi, and Max Domi ends up having a better season than you after the tumultuous start he had in Arizona, then, like...
It's put up or shut up time for Alex Galchenyuk.
Mm-hmm. And it's a contract year.
Definitely put up or shut up time.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's get this trade deadline talk going here.
Yeah.
Because we hockeyed along quite a bit here. A lot more than I suspected we would. So the MLB trade deadline. Kyle, I'm going to go ahead and just hand you the reins here. Take over.
I will do my best because I have a lot of words on this page. Some big or some are small.
I have so many words. They're the best words. Words of words. They could be used with other words.
I came in. Was looking at teams, looked up some farm rankings from after the draft, and there's just fits all over. The deadline this year is going to be, it has been interesting the last few years, but it's going to be even more interesting because teams have to make an accurate depiction and an assumption of what they're going to be for the rest of the season by July 31st, because Major League Baseball nixed the waiver trade deadline on August 31st. So you're not going to see Justin Verlander getting waived and moved to Houston right before midnight on the 31st anymore of August for a late season run. Those days are over, so teams have one less month to figure out who they are. And I think it's going to make this year very interesting for a lot of teams, especially in the National League. I try to divide the teams in the league into what I expect to be sellers, who I expect to be buyers, the buyers' needs, and who I see on the fence. And I had more teams on the fence than there were buyers.
Yeah.
And six of the eight teams I have on the fence are from the National League, because it is just a logjam. If you're not a division leader right now, you're within like six games or five games of a wild card spot. And that includes the Rockies.
Yep.
Which I'll start there since I have Frank here.
Yes.
I didn't have a lot of sellable options. I had the Rockies as an on-the-fence team. Obviously, everybody in the National League West is on the fence because they're all around 500 and they're not named the Dodgers. So the other four teams have a lot of decisions to make in the next week and a half. I want your thoughts, though. I only had a couple of guys that came from the Rockies that weren't like big-name guys. Like if they choose to sell off like a Charlie Blackman or something like that, I would be absolutely shocked.
I would be, too.
But I just picked one name out of the rotation and a guy that's having a really good year out of the bullpen. And John Gray of the rotation. Mm-hmm. Maybe a change of scenery for him if they can get something back for his services. And Scott Oberg.
I can see that. I wonder what's going to eventually happen with Kyle Freeland as well. You know, that seems like one where he's still got the ceiling, a really high ceiling, so a team could offer something and take a chance on him. And if Colorado is willing to do that, they could absolutely do that. Or they could think he needed some time. We don't know. I don't know. But I can see the two, Gray and Oberg, you mentioned. And I think another guy out of the bullpen, too, who could get moved is Wade Davis. For a team that's like desperately needs a closer.
Wade Davis. Oh man.
Yeah.
What a tough time in his career it's been since going to Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But any of the hitting court, I don't see it. It's a really good core. Colorado hasn't had pitching for the longest time.
They briefly mentioned the name Charlie Blackman on MLB Central this morning as a possible trade piece. He's making over $20 million.
Yeah, I doubt it. Him and Arenado just re-signed like within the last couple years to long-term deals, and you got Trevor Story too. Who I really like him, you know, a great replacement for Tulowitzki.
So we started with the Rockies. I think they're a fit for a couple of teams if they choose to sell. I may as well just start with the other teams I saw on the fence. The next week and a half will really determine a lot of things. You're going to see a lot of moves really, 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 really close to the deadline because, again, like I said, a lot of those National League teams are going to take it as close to the wire as they possibly can to see if they have a fighting chance to make one final push before the dog days in August. So on the fence, out of the American League, I have the Indians. They're in second place in the AL Central, but they've been rumored to potentially be ready to move a Trevor Bauer out of the rotation, a Brad Hand out of the bullpen, Oliver Perez, who's a situational left-hander, out of the bullpen as well, and the Rangers, also second place in their respective division, way behind the Astros. They're a game above 500, I believe I saw this morning. Mike Minor's been on all the rumor lists the last 2 months. A guy like Lance Lynn, who's coming off a massive June, a renaissance, throwing 95-96 again, 150 strikeouts. Team would take a flyer on him, just like the Rangers took one on him to start the season. And then the National League, here we go. I got literally the entirety of the NL West. That isn't the Dodgers. And the Pirates and Reds. I think a guy like Starling Marte could be moved off the Pirates roster, same with Felipe Vasquez. Big endgame closer there. And then the Reds, if they choose to move on from a guy like Tanner Roark or Rossell Iglesias out of the bullpen, teams will be calling them left and right because You've seen a lot of teams in the playoffs go back to like the fireman days of the 70s and 80s, where they'll tell a guy, or maybe he'll just be thrust into a role in the playoffs where he's their 2-3 inning guy. If we need 6th, 7th, and 8th from you, go get it. Raisel Iglesias is a former starting pitcher turned closer. I'm sure he could find the stamina if a team wanted to take a flyer on him in the playoffs. The Reds could get something back for him as they're still in rebuild mode, figuring out who they are. You can get a price back for Iglesias. I think a lot of teams would be calling. Wow. And those are just the on-the-fence teams. So all those names I just mentioned may not even be available come the 31st. Because
yeah,
one
some
team
of those
on-the-fence
teams might even just try to buy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could, like just Kyle said, they can get hot, and the next thing you know, they're like, maybe we should actually hold on to these guys and see what we can pull off here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's kind of the situation where the Giants are going through.
Let's go Columbus, Leroy Jenkins.
There you go. It's exactly what
Let's
the
go
Giants...
Columbus on this.
It's exactly what the Giants are going through right now, though. I'm sure you've seen the run they're on. GM, I do not envy the job that GM Farid Zahidi is going to have in the next 2 weeks, because all season it was the rumors of Madison Bumgarner. Is this the year he gets moved out of San Fran? Even a guy like Buster Posey, is his time in San Fran coming down?
He's been there a while, too.
They have two left-handers in the bullpen that people have been calling about. Will Smith, Tony Watson, guys that can get outs in big stages. But the Giants are 14-2 in their last 16 games and suddenly in the discussion above 500 for a wild card. Now, the biggest question for the Giants are going to be, they have one of the biggest starting pitching trade pieces available on the market. I think the next, what day is it? 22nd? The next 9 days, we're going to see how serious the Giants are about this rebuild. They said they were ready to move into. And one of the biggest pieces is get 3 to 4 major chips back for a guy like Madison Bumgarner. He fits a lot of teams' needs. He fits a team like the Red Sox.
He fits all other 29 teams, doesn't he?
Just about.
Starting pitcher.
He could fit the needs of a team like Philadelphia, like Boston.
He's a quality starting pitcher. You could fit all the needs of all the teams.
Yeah, a former World Series MVP. Set the record for most innings pitched in the playoffs in 2014. This guy is an absolute horse when the lights are brightest. The Brewers. I mean, a lot of these are hoop dreams. Yankees. He'd have to shave his beard. It's another joke I have. That's why Bryce Harper didn't go to the Yankees. Didn't want to shave his beard. I don't know if Bumgarner would go to New York, because he didn't have to be clean shaven. It'd be weird. It's like he's a rookie again.
Wouldn't he have no choice in it if he gets traded?
He would have no choice. I think he also has a modified.
Also, the Yankees can get over themselves. Let the guys have
their
beard.
I agree with that. Well, yeah. It's not 1977 anymore. And
you're not businessmen. You're baseball players.
Yeah.
You don't need to be clean shaven. Get out of here with this nonsense.
Tell him.
You elite b-holes.
The Twins. Need I go any further?
You are going further.
I am going further. Yeah, the Twins. The Twins were a big piece, too. They have the...
Get a quality arm for a team that rakes?
Yeah. The 10th best post-draft farm rank as of last month. There's a match there. But, yeah. A lot of these teams, I don't want to focus too much on the on-the-fence guys because things could change in 3 days, but there's a lot of interesting names on teams who are in the middle of the races right now but can't really tell who they are. And as you know, tanking has become a hot commodity in all big four sports season, except football. Hard to do that in football, but yeah, NBA, it's heavy. Hockey, obviously, it's been heavy, but... It's sort of becoming a fad in baseball, because what does 81-81 get me at this point?
I mean, that's even with expanding the postseason field.
Exactly.
Before was when they really should have been doing it.
Yeah.
When you're getting four teams per league in the playoffs, and that's it. That's all you get. You know, adding an extra team gives someone a little bit of extra hope. But it's still tough to make the postseason. And like you said, what's average getting me? It's getting me nowhere.
Yeah. 16th pick in the 2020 draft. And
those kids are always
far away.
Nothing to show my
fans. Right. Let's go to the sellers.
Yes.
Who are in the cellar. No, nothing.
Do the Blue Jays got anything interesting to give up?
They do. They do. They have a couple of pieces I highlighted.
They have the one big one.
Whomst?
Stroman.
Yes, Marcus Stroman. He's been a name that has been all over the market the last month or so. A lot of teams are calling. Most recently, I just got an update from John Heyman. As of today, the Braves, the Yankees, and the Astros are among the teams in the mix. They're probably one of six or seven or eight Braves, Yankees, Astros calling for Marcus Stroman's services. He's a serviceable two in some rotations, definitely a strong three. He's having a good season after a tough 2018. I think the Blue Jays get something for him. I also think Ken Giles is going to be dealt off the Blue Jays roster. He's not punching himself in the face anymore, so that's a good start.
Usually a good thing not to punch yourself in the face.
Yeah, sub 2 ERA. Good amount of saves on a pretty middling roster. I think a team like, you want to talk interdivisionally, a team like Boston, again, could be calling. A team like the Braves, starved for a closer. We're not able to bring Craig Kimbrel back. They're going to be calling every team under the sun that has a proven bona fide closer who is disposable. I think, you know, you can only get away with a guy like Luke Jackson pitching the ninth inning for you so long. If you want to be taken seriously in the postseason, then I think you need a guy like a Ken Giles, or if you go to a team, another team that could be sellers, like, I don't know, expected sellers of the teams I highlighted, the only real bona fide proven closer outside of Ken Giles might be a guy like Shane Green from Detroit, who's leading the league in saves, the American League in saves at least. I believe Kirby Yates from San Diego has taken that over from him in the last few weeks, but for the most part, a lot of the sellers are highlighting pitchers and unproven closers, guys that have been thrust into that kind of role just out of necessity. Like Kansas City, for example. Kansas City could have some teams calling them about Ian Kennedy, a former Cy Young candidate with Arizona, 21 wins in 2011, but now he's been thrust into the bullpen and he's suddenly a closer for the Royals. They didn't have one. They're not expected to win. They're going to lose 100 games. Ian Kennedy's ready for the role. If they can get something for Ian Kennedy, I don't think it's going to be the price of a closer, though, on the open market. I think a team that's looking at Ian Kennedy is going to maybe turn him into a setup man, a 7th, 8th inning guy for a playoff push for a team who already has a closer in place. Much like, I don't know, the Brewers. The Brewers could look for some help leading up to Josh Hader. Jeremy Jeffress has kind of had an up-and-down season, was hurt to start it. They don't have a real proven guy, and again, Kennedy isn't, so there's a lot of moving parts in these next few days. But yeah, look at the Mets too. Expected seller from me. It's just a matter of if they can humble themselves and potentially take the price down on some of their starting pitchers, because the rumors the last few days have been they're asking, I think in my opinion, way too much for a pitcher like Steven Matz. And even with Zach Wheeler, guys that have good high potential still in their late 20s but haven't been able to put it together. Zach Wheeler's already been a deadline acquisition once. He came from the Giants in 2011 for Carlos Beltran. So if the Mets are able to take the price down and are able to swallow a tinier pill, I think they can get something back for a rotation that was expected to be the next wave of the future in 2014 and 2015 when Syndergaard, DeGrom, Mets, Wheeler, and Harvey were all there, along with Big Sexy, obviously.
Man, way to Mets it all up, Mets.
They did Mets it all up.
I mean, they did get to a World Series appearance.
They did.
So I can't really say it was all for naught, but you're supposed to have some longevity there, Mets. Come on. That's the ultimate Mets thing right there.
The
get
only
to the
guy
World Series, rip the hearts out of everyone after that.
The only guy that's really survived out of that quintet is Jacob DeGrom. He's the only guy not rumored to have been dealt or already has been dealt by the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy stuff. So, yeah, the Marlins, I'm looking at the Marlins, too. They have a Starling Castro that could fit the need of a team like the Cardinals. He'd use a second baseman. Colton Wong got off to a hot start this year, but has tailed off since. And Sergio Romo, former closer. He's finished off a World Series for the Giants in the past. He's a guy you can get a little bit of a piece from because he's having a good, solid year on a middling team. Someone could probably use him as a 7th, 8th inning guy in the playoffs. But, yeah, in terms of needs of most of the buyers, I think for our listeners, you can expect a lot of pitching to be moved in the next 9 days. I think the days have passed us and are gone where a lot of big-name bats move at the trade deadline. I had a couple written down here that I highlighted, like Toronto's got Freddie Galvis that someone could use as a bench bat, a guy that can play multiple infield positions. Trey Mancini and Jonathan Villar out of Baltimore, another two guys with a lot of versatility. Mancini in the outfield, he could play first base for a team like the Rays who are looking for an everyday first baseman. Jonathan Villar also fits the bill of a team like the Cardinals, again, guy in the middle infield, a little bit of pop, stealing ability, 17 steals this year. I think if you're looking on the hitting side, the biggest bat I could expect to move this deadline might be Nick Castellanos out of Detroit. And that's literally it. That is probably going to be the highlight. I think you're going to see a lot of arms. It's going to be an arms race.
It's going to be primarily pitchers.
I fully expect it's probably going to be
a lot of like smaller moves, it feels like.
Yeah, teams will make definitely some smart moves. I mentioned, like an Ian Kennedy could go to a postseason bound team, say, hey, we want you to get used to the 7th inning in the next few months for us. We have a comfortable lead. I know you just took on this closer role, but we like your stuff. We want to see how it plays in X inning so we can make you our guy to insert closer here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of those strategic moves and ways to lengthen your bullpen because baseball's already become a bullpen game. It's even magnified more in the playoffs. You can get 4 or 5 innings out of your starter. You throw some flamethrowers for the next 4 or 5 innings. Just absolutely shove it down teams' throats. That's the way to go these days. But, yeah, I think it's much like last year, much like 2017, much like go down the lines. It's going to be lefties and righties out of the bullpen and the rotation, changing names, changing cities. And I always love it. I think it's one of my favorite days of the year. You see the 4 o'clock deadline. Deadlines are always fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're scrolling through social media. You're following Ken Rosenthal. You're seeing what these Todd Zielecki from Philadelphia, you're seeing what he has to see on the latest. It's exciting stuff, and you always get those deals that don't come through the works until 4:30.
The NHL and NBA trade deadline, it's just like you're always refresh. What's going on? What do we got? And the same thing. Any hardcore baseball fan, like you said, Ken Rosenthal is a guy that he's going to drop a bomb or two.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see it, and you're going to be like, okay, well, that happened. Let's see what we got. Let's see what more fun we've got here. And deadline day is always fun, and especially the way that you've got it compiled here and the way that it looks like the landscape could be going. It should make for at least a little bit of a shifting in dynamics here for the postseason push.
Yeah, for our baseball listeners out there, our hardcore fans, just pay attention to the standings. I mean, listen back to what we had to say here for the last 15 minutes on this topic. I mean, keep in mind that your favorite team might not make the biggest splash because, you know, you have to keep in mind what their farm system looks like too. There's not the way Major League Baseball has become so top heavy the last few years. There's not a lot of player for player deals at the deadline. I mean, 2014, the big headliner was John Lester for Yoenis Cespedes, Boston to Oakland. That helped both parties. But yeah, you have to keep in mind how long your team's been good, and unless you're not named the Houston Astros, who amaze me every day with the ability of these guys to just be, they've sustained success since about 2015, their first postseason berth with this core. They've added to it with trades and free agent signings. They've brought up prospects. They've traded prospects, and they're still 8th ranked as of last month. You know, it's just a matter of how smart your team has been in the last few years, too, because that dictates how aggressive you can be at this deadline, too, because it's all a build-up. You have to have guys ready to fill positions if you need them in the season, but you also have to have guys ready and producing in the farm system that can also be pieces for you to acquire some MLB-ready talent for another push in 2019. I mean, you could be the Astros, who were 8th. You could be the Red Sox, who were 30th. They're coming off a World Series victory. and they were ranked as the worst farm system in baseball. It's going to be tough for them to make a lot of big splashes with what they have in Pawtucket.
It'd be interesting to see what you can get with the likes of, for example, Boston. Three games back of the wild card, but the division's not even, it's a mile away, it seems, 12 games back for them. But Boston's a team that, when the playoffs come, they tend to show up. And part of the problem is you got to get there. And it's a crowded race. Because you've got Oakland, you've got Cleveland, you've got, if it's either Cleveland or Minnesota, really. Mm-hmm. Tampa's in your way. It's going to be an interesting race for the wild card there. See what two teams get those spots.
Yeah, I'll remind you again, this is not an official list. This is just when I looked at the standings, this is who I thought were on the fence. Keep close tabs for the next 9 days on the Indians, the Rangers, the Pirates, the Reds, the Giants, who are hot right now, the Rockies, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks. Depending on how those teams, I think, fare in the next 8 or 9 days of gameplay, it will really offset the middle of the league right now. If some of those teams get hot and they think they're buyers, then that'll lengthen the list of buyers. If they get cold, somebody goes 2-4, 2-5 over the next 7 days of play, 8 days of play, and they fall 8 games out and they got 2 months to jump 7 teams, you might see them drop down to the sellers. And some of those players that we highlighted could be on the move. But, you know, like I said, there's one less deadline. There's a lot of teams in the middle. It's going to come down to the wire, and I think it's going to be as crazy as it possibly could be come the 31st.
Guys, for the first time in a while, next episode we get football heavy. Be ready. Bills training camp. We'll get position battles. We'll talk to one of our friends down at Bills training camp as well. Not sure who we'll get yet, who would be able to make their appearance. But that's for me to figure out and for you to find out on the next Leftovers podcast. Thanks for listening. Derek Kramer,
Frank Curry,
and Kyle Powell.
And we come at you Monday, Thursday. Thank you for listening on WGR550.com, on demand, or on the radio.com app. I'm excited. Football's back. I'm very excited for this. And we get to really dive into some Bills. But really, the strangest thing about the Bills is going to be, at the end of the day, one person makes or breaks their season. Talk more on that next time. Thanks for listening. Later.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!